You're listening to Changing Minds, Transformative Talks for Healthcare Improvement. Grab a coffee or tea and join our team as we chat with leaders in the academic detailing space. For more information on academic detailing, visit us at narcat.org.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Changing Minds, where we explore the power of clinical behavior change. I have with me a particularly phenomenal guest speaker today. It's Vishal Kinkabwala, one of our training facilitators. He's an expert consultant, an absolute G at detailing, and has been doing detailing work for over 5 years. And just such a thoughtful trainer who really helps any new detailers that we train here at NARCAD feel more than ready for the field in just 3 days. So welcome, Vishal. How's your afternoon going?
Thanks so much for having me. I couldn't be more excited to be here with the absolute OGs in detailing. Afternoon has been going great. I've been really excited to come in and record this. I've been a fan of you guys on the podcast for a while. So I guess long-time listener, first-time caller, if I'm allowed to say that.
Yes. Well, there's a first time for everything. And that's actually something that I'd love to jump right into, Vishal. You tend to have a particularly optimistic approach to detailing. And as you and I know, especially you being out in the field, meeting clinicians, that it's not always the easiest job. You have people who may turn you away and say, you know what, the doctors aren't available today, or we don't want whatever it is you're selling, without realizing that detailing isn't about sales. It is social marketing. It is providing frontline providers with that needed evidence and tools and resources and support that will help them bring evidence to the front lines and close that gap between what the evidence says clinicians should be doing and what is actually happening in frontline practice. So a question for you is, how do you approach meeting somebody for the first time, regardless of what kind of mood they might be in, what might be coming your way? How do you walk into a situation like that feeling confident?
Really great question. So the first thing that comes to my mind, you know, when I think about this, is the meme about the golden retriever, where a golden retriever's main attitude is every individual, every stranger is just a friend that I haven't made yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think about that when I go into the world of detailing, is that every clinician or every individual, not even clinician, but even, you know, our gatekeepers, as they say, or, you know, staff in any clinical setting, or even non-clinical setting, they're just colleagues and friends and connections that I have yet to make. And that's what I'm about to do. So going in, you know, to a detailing session, we have our objectives. We have what we want to happen. We have the behavior change that we'd like to influence. But at the end of the day, it's really about that human first mentality, and that what your first priority is going to be building and developing this relationship. So really bringing that people aspect, thinking about it as one-on-one, two individuals are just sitting here having a conversation, getting to know each other. You know, they're both human. Everyone's on an equal playing field. You don't have clinician versus, you know, somebody that's non-clinical. You just have two individuals that are here to help each other out beneficially. So at the end of the day, I approach every session with that mindset of, I just want to connect. I want to get to know them, and I want them to get to know me. And I want to develop that connection, really build that rapport, and from there, be able to maintain it and, you know, be the type of friend or colleague that I would want someone to be for me. And I think that's what really informs sort of the attitude going in. You know, someone may not be having the best day, but I'm going to prime myself in the morning and get ready to make it a good day and really to bring that positive energy and do what I can to hopefully bring a smile on someone's face and make myself memorable for them.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, and those folks who are listening, whether they be absolutely new to public health detailing or academic detailing, or they are veterans, or anywhere in between, it really is so key to remember that piece that you just said, that, you know, it's not a clinician versus a non-clinician, or you know, a nurse versus a doctor. It's very much about joining forces. It made me think for a moment about how some of the, you know, early studies and how many academic detailing programs do believe that the clinician to clinician approach really is ideal. And while there are benefits to that, we have seen here at NARCAD, particularly over the past 15 years and the past 5, especially, that more and more folks without, you know, particularly rigorous clinical training still have quite a few gifts to offer. And Vishal, as an MD, I'd love to know when you're training folks through our NARCAD training series, what is it that you notice is really critical in terms of the skill set that a budding detailer needs to have to be successful? And do you think that those skills must be tied to clinical expertise?
Wonderful question. I think I'd like to start with sort of that second question first, and from there get back to the first one. So,
Sure.
do you need to have that clinical background to be successful as a detailer? Absolutely not. I think it comes down to, can you effectively communicate? Can you really develop that relationship and maintain that relationship with the clinician? And are you willing to learn, and are you willing to do what it takes to meet the needs of that clinician? And I think that's really what comes handy. So kind of tying that back into the first question, I think one of the skills that really does help when you're going out and, when I work with my wonderful trainees when we do these NARCAD trainings is really, kind of leveraging what you do know, but at the same time, being able to pivot and think quickly and think on your feet and meet the needs of where they're at. And if that means kind of building a stronger base, taking the time to study the material and get to really know your clinical topic inside and out, keeping up with latest evidence with medical journals, talking to clinicians, finding out what's going on, speaking with farm reps, perhaps, kind of finding out the landscape. That's one of the great things about this field is that the medical knowledge itself is something that can be learned. That's something that's available in literature that can be studied. However, the one thing that sometimes is not necessarily able to be learned and is inherent is really that human communications aspect is, can you think fast on your feet? Can you meet the needs? And are you willing to put in the work where it needs to be done? This kind of brings me back if I can sort of go on a tangent a little bit. In one of my very
Sure.
first detailing sessions ever, I still have very fond memories of this, is this was for HIV prevention detailing. So I walked into a clinician's office to talk about HIV prevention and pre-exposure prophylaxis, known as PrEP. So I was ready to talk everything about PrEP. I had numbers ready in my head regarding studies. I was talking dosages, I was talking side effects, I was talking insurance, everything. But the question I got seemed to be coming out of left field, which was, what treatment do I provide for genital herpes? And what are the guidelines that I need to know? And, could I have had that knowledge in my head? Sure, absolutely. That's something that I studied afterwards and made sure I had at least a basic knowledge that I could answer it in the future. But at the same time, I think what really makes a detailer's role so beautiful and just so necessary is that ability and almost that humility to say, I don't have that answer with me right now, but I'm going to go back and do my due diligence and I'm going to learn this and I'm going to come back to you and give you the guidance that you need. And sure enough, that's what I did, is I let him know, I don't have that answer now, but I'm going to come back in a few days. I went home, I studied up as if I was back in medical school, and I learned everything that I could about herpes, and I came back and I gave him the answer. And I think that that's really the beauty of it, is if you have that drive to be able to meet the need and put in the work where it needs to get done, I think that more than suffices for, having the clinical knowledge in your head versus not, for sure.
Yes, and showing that you'll be accountable, that you're earnest, that you care about following through. That's really lovely. And I want to go back to what you said about the human to human piece. You know, a lot of folks we do see that are wonderful at this, as you mentioned, can think on their feet, and can with humility share when they don't know something, but they're able also to draw out a clinician who may be hesitant, who may be defensive, who may wonder, what is this person doing in my office? What do they want from me? And so there is an aspect of storytelling to academic detailing, wherein you are, as a detailer, both the storyteller and the person who encourages the clinician to tell his, her, or their own stories. And that's, again, the human aspect that we want to think of. When detailers are prepared to go out into the field, if they are strictly thinking about detailing as a numbers game, okay, I've got 10 clinicians on my list and I want to get at least 8 of them to change their approach to XYZ, they're missing the point, right? Because if they go out there and have 2 really meaningful conversations, that's a win. And so we want to make sure that anyone listening who's thinking, hey, I might want to be trained by NRCAD as a detailer, or I want to learn what this is all about, recognizes that while behavior change is absolutely the goal, that relationship building does take time. And so with that in mind, Vishal, I'd love to know, have there been any clinicians you've seen repeatedly over time where you've been able to build a relationship more slowly and consistently, if perhaps, you know, that first meeting, you weren't able to solidify a deeper connection? And what does building a relationship over longer periods of time and multiple visits look like?
Absolutely. That has definitely happened, where there was a clinician that I worked with in the state of Michigan, who at first it was very just, okay, can you answer my one question? That's all I need. You know, provided the answer to the question, and that was kind of it. So sort of the initial impression, I think, for the clinician was, okay, thanks, you answered my question. You know, I appreciate you, have a nice day, type of thing. But I think it also comes down to having some of that persistence. You know, there's always a level, you don't want to come across as, you know, that you're badgering the clinician, but at the same time, you want to enforce the fact that I'm here, you know, use me as a resource. This is what I'm here for. I'm here to support you. You let me know, you know, how and when you need me. And that, you know, I think in my situation looked a lot like just having check-ins, you know, maybe once every couple of months or so, checking in, hey, just wanted to follow up. How you doing? How are things going with this? What questions do you have? What experiences have you had? And it differs. Sometimes it'll be an email. Sometimes it'll be a phone call, you know, switching it up. That way you're not just kind of going, you know, after sort of one method the whole time. But I think it really is sort of, as you said, I love the way you phrase that, Bev, and that it does take time. You know, Rome is never built overnight or in one day.
In a day.
You know, exactly. In a day or night. You know,
I'm going to start saying that now. Rome wasn't built overnight. Yep.
Exactly. You know, in fact, it took many days and nights to build Rome. But relationships are like that as well. You know, is sometimes you know, you feel that spark and you feel that connection right away, but sometimes it can be a little bit of that slow burn, and that is absolutely okay, because oftentimes great things in life do take time. Mm-hmm. And I think it really is just about not losing hope, but just remembering at the end of the day, this isn't about one specific goal. This isn't about, I need to meet my metrics. I need to check a box that I've talked to this clinician and gotten a behavior change and had a prescription written or a test run or et cetera. It's really about, you know, how do we develop this relationship in the long term? And how do I continue supporting this individual, showing that I am on your side? I don't just need something from you, but we're a team. We're on the same side together. And sometimes that really is just, it's about the conversation. And I think just getting in the door and getting a conversation, that's really a win. That's what you're looking for. It doesn't have to have a specific, okay, I talked to you and this is what I'm getting out of it. But rather, we're communicating. You've picked up the phone. You've answered the email. We're talking. You know, you're always going back to the needs assessment that you're doing kind of at that initial detailing visit. That's one of the things I've loved about doing detailing in person, is it's not a one and done, okay, needs assessment, I know everything I need to know. It's constantly evolving because your needs are always changing. And that's sort of the beauty of being a detailer in the field, is you yourself are learning and you're keeping up with the evidence and the guidance to provide this information to your clinician. And so really being able to continue having those conversations, and sometimes it's really, it might be as simple as, Hey, how are things going in your practice? Are these, new regulations that are coming out, for example, how are they affecting your practice? How are they affecting your staff and your patients? And really just actually caring, not just asking to ask and check a box, but really finding it deep down to, really connect. And as if you're talking to a friend, we genuinely care when things happen to our friends. You want to treat this in the same way as, tell me what's going on. Let's put all the paperwork and the folders and the business hat aside, but, let's chat one on one. Tell me what's really going on. And I think that's, that's one of the beautiful things of this, because at the end of the day is, you both leave a little more enriched because the clinician you're talking with can leave sort of with a little less heaviness because they were able to share this with you. But at the same time, you've gained a much deeper understanding into the mind of what are clinicians looking for? What is and how is it that I, as a detailer, can sort of fill in these gaps even further and be of even more use? So I think there's so much value in just having any conversation. Doesn't matter what it's about. One of the things, and Bevan, I think now you've learned this quite a bit about me, is I can be a little bit of a sports nut, and I find that sometimes it's a great way to connect with people. Where, if I notice that, coming from the state of Michigan, if somebody is a Lions fan, for example, I will happily chat about, the fact that we got their head coach from them. Thank you, Michigan. But just talking anything that breaks the ice, and that's going to be a win.
You said so many wonderful things there, and I think one thing in particular that really stood out to me is that you're going to be leaving the conversation, both of you, enriched. And that clinicians may feel lighter after. And historically, clinicians have had heavy burdens to bear, particularly right now when there is just so much uncertainty in the field of healthcare. Coming in as a detailer consistently, that creates a sense of stability for so many clinicians. And that's a beautiful thing as well. And you did speak about the needs assessment. So those are the open-ended questions that detailers ask to really draw a clinician out and share his, her, or their stories. I was really interested in, as we prepare to wrap up, Vishal, what are you finding over the course of your career as both a detailer and a trainer, and an expert in detailing and being a clinician yourself? What would you distill down as maybe the three or four consistent things that clinician after clinician seem to need, regardless of what clinical topic you are coming to educate them about?
I think number one is somebody to listen and not just, be sort of a place for them to vent and get it out, but really understand what the frustration and the needs are and truly listen and sort of absorb it. And from there, take that information to, to meet their needs and to make the situation better. I think that's probably the number one. And the number two would be, I think somebody that's willing to kind of going along with that is willing to do what needs to be done to help that situation. It could be oftentimes we become such kind of subject matter experts and so siloed in our own fields that sometimes we forget that, there's a whole forest out there and not just the trees in front of us. And so really recognizing that, okay, if I need to pivot and I need to go in a different direction to make this happen, I think they need somebody that's going to be willing and sort of happy to do that and
And
really
think
take those extra
creatively.
steps. Exactly. Thinking as they say in Taco Bell, thinking outside the bun or thinking outside the box, right? Is, really kind of bringing that creativity to it, I think is going to be so key. And I think the final piece of what, I know myself as someone in the healthcare field that they look for and what I've seen clinicians look for is also just, kind of that camaraderie, being able to provide that breather of, you get so kind of drawn into your daily routine of, okay, wake up, go to a patient room, come back out, chart, walk in, go to a patient room, come back in, chart. And sometimes having a routine is nice, but sometimes it can also lead to a little bit of that monotony. And I think being able to be that breath of fresh air and, hey, let's take a break. Let's walk away from the, the computer or the tablet screen. Let's, sit and maybe have a cup of water together, or go to the coffee machine and have a cup of coffee together and kind of just decompress and get a little bit of that break into your day. And I think just really remembering that clinicians too are, again, are also are humans, are people, and they have their needs and they have their stresses, and oftentimes, they may be talking about the next patient and how much charting they have to do and sort of what, what they need to do for this one patient. But sometimes too, they're also thinking, well, oh gosh, I want to make sure I get home so I can attend my child's soccer practice, or let's say this TV show's on, I really want to go and I want to find out what happens on that, final episode of The Summer I Turned Pretty, for example. I just saw that on on a reel the other day, so I haven't yet seen it. But just sort of being able to be that break, and
These are people. These are people.
exactly, 100%, 100%.
I love that. So providing them a space to be human, that camaraderie, a place to break the routine that they're in, where they can really potentially lose sight of why they got into this in the first place. And of course, the stressors with administrative burdens, charting, as you mentioned, and trying to do the best thing for their patient. And oftentimes, maybe not being seen for how hard they're trying. A good detailer can offer that mirroring space to really just help a clinician feel seen. And when you brought up that kind of listening, not faking that you're listening, not nodding and kind of, doing your part to look or appear interested, but truly taking interest in that other human being. What gets them going? Even asking a big question that might get them going for a bit, but what made you want to be a clinician? What made you want to be an NP? What made you want to get into psych? What made you want to work in the ER? If there's room for that, that can be a beautiful way to start too.
Absolutely. I really like that. I think that's a question I love going back to is, tell me your story. How did you get where you are here? What
Absolutely.
I'd love to get to know just Dr., Dr. So-and-so as Dr. So-and-so. What's,
Well, with that in mind, let's wrap up with that question because I realized I've never asked you that, Dr. Kinkabwala. What got you into healthcare? What made you think I definitely want to be a doctor?
That's actually a really good question. So I knew for a while I wanted to do something in healthcare. I think just, and it sounds so cliche, but it's the truth, is that really that human aspect of it is not just, helping save and protect lives, but I think being able to make that difference. I like to, and I love using my analogies, but I love to think of that starfish analogy as, of the little boy that's coming after the tide goes, and he picks up the starfish that are washed up on the beach and throws them back into the water. And when someone asked him, he said, there's no way that you can save all the starfish. Why do you keep doing that? But he says, I may not be able to save everyone, but if I save at least one or two starfish, it means the world to them. And I started to think about that as, I wanted to be able to have those intimate connections and really make, develop that rapport, have that professional relationship, and make a difference in people's lives. So I think that's what really drove me first into medicine, but then also into public health as well. Because in public health, even though you're not necessarily, seeing patients clinically, you're trying to do the greater good for the greater amount of people. And at the end of the day, is that's always, the number one priority in mind is how do I wake up one morning and, make the world a better place by the time I go to bed each night, and then rinse and repeat every single day. And that's kind of what drove me into this field. And I think I can confidently say I think I picked the right field, as I couldn't see myself doing anything other than something in the health field.
Beautiful, beautiful. And there is such overlap between, the reasons and interests getting into healthcare and serving patients directly, as well as being connected to patients through public health, and there's so many angles, there's so many ways to improve the collective health of our communities. And detailing is just one, happens to be one that I know you and I are particularly fond of. So for those of you listening, please do head over to NRCAD.org. You can learn more about Vishal on our team page, as well as the rest of our amazing staff. And if you have questions for Vishal or for us here at NRCAD and at Changing Minds, you can pop them on over to NRCAD@bmc.org. That's NRCAD@bmc.org. We are housed at Boston Medical Center, a fantastic safety net hospital here in Boston, Massachusetts. But our work at NRCAD stretches across North America and beyond. So learn more at NRCAD.org and stay tuned for our next episode of Changing Minds. Thanks, Vishal.
Thank you for having me.